Good morning. Welcome to you all. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. Isn't this a wonderful spell of weather that we are having? I toyed with putting on my robes, but then I thought, no, I don't want to pass out in front of you all. But it is just lovely, and it's also lovely to come into the coolness of the sanctuary as well. So welcome, everyone. Let us worship God. God's people have gathered. Hymn 129. The Lord is King. Lift up your voice. The psalmist declared, "All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will praise you." Let us pray. Almighty God, the heavens declare your glory. The earth bows before you, and all your people praise you. Gracious God, you are love. In love you created the world in all its beauty and splendor. And in love you sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. We are in awe of all that he has done for us. And we give thanks that reigning with you in glory, he intercedes for us at your right hand. Lord God, holy and true are all your ways. In the presence of your people, we confess that we have not always been loving or loyal in our dealings with you or one another. We allow the world to influence our thinking. We let our pride keep us from seeking your help and thinking that we know best, we are hesitant in asking for your guidance. Gracious God, slow to anger and good to all, forgive us our sins. Take from us all that grieves you and lead us forward that we may be more loving and loyal. Almighty God, your greatness no one can fathom, and your wisdom is beyond all telling. Bless this time of worship, that it may be for each one of us a hallowed hour, and receiving the praise of your people, may your name be glorified in all the earth. These things we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord, and together we say the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served in the church after the service. Please do wait behind if you can for a further time of fellowship. It would be good to see you. A reminder that Logie Kirk will be open from 2 to 4 every Sunday during July and August. If you're in that area, please do call in. It's a beautiful church altogether, and refreshments will be available. I like that word, refreshments. That covers a lot of things, doesn't it? I'll leave it to your imagination. Or maybe that's something else to entice you to go along. Tickets for the barbecue to be held in the Manse Garden this coming Saturday from 3 to 6 will be available in the church after the service today. In the event of the weather not being as good as it is today, we will gather in the parish halls. But let's hope the weather will be favourable. The sacrament of baptism will be administered during the service next Sunday. We look forward to that. And then a week on Tuesday, volunteers to help maintain the grounds around the church are invited to gather at 1:30. It is said that love and loyalty are key characteristics of being a Christian. We are to be loving and we are to be loyal. And people should be able to see these characteristics or qualities when they look at us. We see the ultimate example of love and loyalty in Jesus Christ. He demonstrated his love by going out of his way to help others, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, to seek out and save the lost, to forgive sins. And what of his loyalty? Sometimes loyalty, like love, can be a fickle thing. Our love and loyalty can depend on the actions of other people. If you love me, I'll love you back. If you're loyal to me, I'll be loyal to you. It's contractual. It's conditional. But that is not how it is with Jesus Christ. He loved his own to the end. And even though his disciples and others let him down, he remained loyal to them. And he remained loyal to God. Even when being loyal to God meant suffering and rejection. Sometimes people think that we've got to do big things to show our love and loyalty. But it is not so. Spending time in prayer, reading the Bible, coming to church, visiting someone who's sick or sad, offering a word of encouragement, a compliment, a reassuring smile. All these things are well within the capability of each and every one of us. So let us, as God's people, endeavor to be loving and loyal, for then others will know that we belong to Jesus Christ, the one who showed his love and loyalty to the full when he went all the way to the cross, there to suffer and die for you and for me and for the world. Amen. Now, our next hymn is one that I like very, very much indeed. I came across it a few years ago and we've sang it a number of times here in church. The words are lovely, but there's also something about the tune as well. And so let's sing to God's praise and glory hymn 175, 175, praise. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart.
Good morning. Hear the word of God from Ruth chapter 1. If you're reading in the Pew Bibles, it's page 221. That's Ruth chapter 1, page 221. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they'd lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show loving kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you and your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning.
Thank you, Isabella. In Christ there is no east or west, hymn 624. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are blessed beyond measure to belong to your worldwide family, a family enriched by its diversity, yet united as one in Christ Jesus. Today, we pray for your church in this land and every land. Help us to be faithful to you and strengthen our witness that being loving and loyal, we may lead others to you, the one who is our Maker, our Redeemer, and our friend. Gracious God, the world and all that is in it belongs to you. Yet we know it is not the world it should be. There is conflict and war, hunger and homelessness, injustice and need. Lord God, look with compassion on all who turn to you for help. Govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the nations of the earth under your just and gentle rule. Lord God, you know each one of us better than we know ourselves. We remember before you now the lonely and the weary. We think of those who live in fear, of those who are hurt and bewildered by events and circumstances. We pray for the sick and for the sorrowing, remembering as we do those families who will gather this week for the funeral of a loved one. Among them, we remember the family and friends of Ron Wilson and Anne Allen and James Cook. Be with them and all for whom we have a concern at this time. Grant healing and strength and peace. Almighty God, whose Son made time to be still, to pray and be renewed, bless us that amidst the daily round and common task, we too may take time to be still, to pray and be renewed, and grant that as a consequence, we may know more fully your love and find our loyalty to you is strengthened. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We sing the hymn 739, The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you.
It has been said that friendship is a powerful and profound form of love, offering happiness, life-altering experiences, and a uniquely human connection. I'm sure we could all think of people we know and whom we would count as friends, and whom these words would be true of. And there's many examples of such friendship in the Bible, and one of them we read earlier. The book of Ruth is a most charming book. It follows the book of Judges. And Judges covers a time when each generation of people got progressively worse in regard to their relationship with God. And the last line in the book of Judges is very telling indeed. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. What a way to sum up a period of time and a people. All the people did what was right, not in God's eyes or the eyes of others, but in their own eyes. And the book of Ruth follows on from that point. And I'm sure the story of Naomi is one that you know very well, many of you at least. But for those who don't know it so well, Naomi was a Hebrew woman, and she lost her husband and two sons in the land of Moab, where they had gone to live. And at that time, and in that particular culture, if a woman had no husband and no sons, it literally meant she had nothing. What an awful situation to be in. And that's the situation that Naomi found herself in. And so she encouraged her daughters-in-law to stay behind and remarry in their native Moab, while she returned to her own homeland in Judah, a completely destitute woman. And one daughter-in-law listened to her mother-in-law, and the other didn't. Orpah did as Naomi suggested. But Ruth, she could not abandon Naomi. And she spoke words which I think form one of the most moving speeches you could ever hear. Picture her in your mind's eye. She holds on to Naomi and she says, "Do not press me to leave you or turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried." Aren't these truly beautiful words? But what makes them even more beautiful is that they were sincere and heartfelt. I'm going to pause and have a refreshment. Sincere words, heartfelt words. Ruth does indeed leave her own people behind. She journeys with Naomi, and though a non-Israelite, she makes her home among the Hebrews. Here we see, in word and action, the true nature of friendship. Naomi was bitter as a result of losing her husband and two sons, and we can understand that. I have to say that I admire the way in which she did not hide her feelings from God or others. She gave voice to her pain and her anger. And surely there's a lesson in this for us. The grin and bear it approach, adopted by so many people, is one thing. Put up with it, don't say anything. But is it not better to be upfront and honest when things are not going well, or we are troubled or anxious or feel let down? God is big enough and able enough to hear it as it is. And isn't it true that sometimes just expressing how we are feeling can in itself be a healing and therapeutic thing to do? Naomi gave voice to her sorrow and bitterness. But, and this is important to note, she did so while still acknowledging God's presence and hand at work in her life and the lives of those around her. Her terrible experience, the great sadness that she knew, did not make her blind to the fact that God was there. True friendship, according to classical writers like Cicero and Aristotle, is marked by altruism. You enter into a relationship not because of what you can get out of it, but because of what you can give to it. And Ruth exemplifies that. She could have gone back to her own people, as Naomi encouraged her to do. She could have found happiness and fulfillment elsewhere. But her loyalty and commitment were such, she could not abandon Naomi. She was blessed with a spirit of generosity and a capacity to love, and it was that, and not a sense of duty, that motivated her to do as she did. There is here a challenge for us today, a challenge to be loyal and committed to those we care about and who care about us, even in the most difficult and trying of times. Ruth surely provides us with an example to aspire to, and it is one that stands in contrast to the example of many people today, where so-called friendships are based on self and what one can get, not give. If I befriend this person, it could help my career prospects. If I befriend that person, it could increase my social standing in the community. If I befriend this person, I might benefit financially. Perhaps I am exaggerating a bit, stretching the point, as you might say. But there is some truth in this. And that's why some friendships and relationships do not last. They are based on a foundation that is anything but noble or desirable. But there is more that we can learn from the story of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi was a Hebrew of the chosen race. Ruth was a foreigner, a detested Moabite, whose long history of antagonism towards the Hebrews was etched in the memory of every Israelite. Yet still she could say, "Where you go, I will go." Even though that meant crossing the boundaries of both race and religion. Doesn't this speak to our troubled world at this time? A world where there is so much tension and aggression and suspicion between people and races. Ukraine, Russia, Israel, Palestine, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, and so I could go on. I marvel at the way in which Jesus was able to see beyond the barriers that existed between people and races. You remember the time when he spoke to the woman from Samaria at Jacob's well. To speak to a woman in public was bad enough. That just didn't happen. But to speak to a Samaritan woman whom the Jews detested was unheard of. And yet he did it. Because for Jesus Christ, each person, regardless of race or religion, is unique and made in God's image. St. Paul took this theme up in his letter to the Galatians. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. These words, of course, are for those who belong to Christ's body, the church. But they are also a reminder that as the one people, we are called to continue Christ's ministry of reconciliation. And that involves building bridges and not walls, extending the hand of friendship, welcoming the stranger, and providing for those in need, regardless of who they are or where they have come from. One commentator has said, "The Book of Ruth puts a question against drawing rigid boundaries between Jew and Gentile. Instead, it asks whether anything matters more than God's interest in and concern for the whole of humanity." That question was answered in the life of Jesus, the one who, in word and action, taught us that God's love and grace extends to all people, irrespective of their background. I think there's something important being said at the end of chapter 1 of Ruth. I wonder if you picked it up. They, that is Naomi and Ruth, arrived in Bethlehem at harvest time. It was as if the long time of waiting was over and something good and productive was about to happen. Harvest time. It is a time of hope, and hope is what ultimately the book of Ruth is about. Naomi did not remain bitter or destitute. She persevered in her faith. And then through Ruth's subsequent marriage to Boaz, with whom she had a son, Obed, who was the grandfather of King David, life became meaningful and hope was born again. How blessed Naomi was to know the love and the loyalty of Ruth, who would not give up on her. And how blessed we are to know the love and loyalty of God, who will never give up on us, and who is there even in the most difficult and trying of times. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's take a moment in the quiet to reflect on God's love and loyalty to us, and our love and loyalty to Him and one another. Amen. Our closing hymn, 622, hymn 622, we sing "A Love That Sets All People Free." I remind you of the tea and the coffee and the biscuits after the service. Please do wait behind if you can, but before that, 622. Go in the peace of God. Go in the love of Christ. Go in the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you, now and forevermore.